Welcome to the Nintendo Fusion Podcast, a podcast that fuses past, present, and future Nintendo thought. I'm David, accompanied by my friend, Jordan. Now, Jordan, what does a Pokemon say before it teleports?
Abra.
Close. Abra cadabra. Ah. Yes, if it were just the anime, the Pokemon that teleports the most is definitely Abra, so it would just say its own name, because for whatever reason, the English anime has them say their names. So I'll give you that one. You get that point.
Hooray. I don't think we've been keeping track.
No, we definitely have not. I think you've gotten at least a few of them right.
Yeah. So at least two or three.
At least two or three. So now, Jordan, did you watch the Pokemon Presents this week?
I kind of when we said we were going to talk about it today, I was like, ah, crap, I probably should watch that. So I watched it on YouTube at double speed. But
so you're telling me you didn't wake up to watch it at 7 a.m. on Wednesday or Tuesday, I guess is when
I'll be honest. I didn't even know it was being shown that day.
I guess I should have told you.
I think you texted me about it, but I was really busy that evening.
Well, I don't think you missed much. In my humble opinion, I feel like it was 35 minutes. It's the longest, I believe, a Nintendo Presents or Pokemon Presents has ever been. Nintendo Directs have definitely gone that long before, but this is the first time a purely Pokemon Presents went that long. And it was fine, I guess. There were some decent reveals and stuff, but there was nothing like groundbreaking and nothing new announced at all. And I mean, we talked last week about how it looks like a new console's on the horizon, so that might be part of it, but
I don't think
still.
So.
Yeah, no, we talked about that.
I do think that the console's on the horizon, but I don't think that affects Pokemon. I don't think Pokemon cares about the new console.
So they're going to basically say what they said to Nintendo, like, oh, we're going to keep developing for the 3DS because the Switch is going to be a failure.
Yeah, I could see them doing dual releases. But I do not see even Gen 10 or whatever. Gen 10 is the next one, right? I don't see Gen 10 being exclusive to the Switch 2.
Yeah. If anything, it'll be a hybrid release and maybe it'll run better on the Switch 2. Yeah. I don't know if it's backwards compatible.
Game Freak.
A lot of faith, I know. But again, the Direct was just kind of boring. I hate to say it, but the executive or who is he? I can't even remember his name, but the guy that basically explained everything just looked totally lifeless the entire time and didn't move like at all. He was like, thank you so very much for coming to this Pokemon Presents. Here is some information for you. I will turn it over to someone else.
It didn't. It also didn't help that like the person dubbing it into English was talking when he was clearly not talking. Like,
yeah,
you don't have to try too hard to like, make it look like it's his voice, but wow, they didn't even put any effort in dubbing at all.
They definitely did not. And of course, they had the trademark plushies back behind him. I don't know. There have been much better announcers on even the Pokemon Presents, and he was just boring. And you know, like the first thing that they really went in to talk to or to talk about was the like Pokemon World Championships that's being held like literally starting tonight that we're recording this. So I guess they wanted to get people to go watch those live streams.
Yeah. The only person I know that's, well, I don't know them, but like the only person I know of that is there is Wolf Glick, who has a YouTube channel or whatever.
Well, and he had some drama apparently with the last event. Somebody leaked his team early, and so that really threw him off and upset him.
Although that team was supposed to be for the previous tournament.
Right. So I don't know if that's how it is now, but anyway, Wolf Glick is a great VGC player, and he's also a really great entertainer. So he'll be fun to see if he goes pretty far. He's gotten close recently to winning quite a bit more, but I don't know. Anyway, I believe that there are a couple of mystery gifts right now as well. You can get like a shiny Grimmsnarl in a Cherish Ball, and also another Gastrodon that started tonight. It's Scarlet and Violet. I think this is the fifth time Gastrodon has been featured as a mystery gift, and so fans are so tired of it.
Why Gastrodon?
Gastrodon is just a really good VGC anchor. Because it has the ability to absorb all of the water moves, and it's a great support. And it's really tanky. Its typing is awesome. So it's really good. It's basically immune to water and immune to electric types. So that makes it huge, because water is one of the most powerful types in doubles. But anyway, that's fun and exciting. Good luck to everybody that's competing. It's taking place in Japan, and this is actually the first time the championship has taken place in Japan. Did you know that?
That is surprising.
I know, right? Anyway, good luck to them. I also wanted to briefly mention that one of the other big announcements was that Pokemon Go is getting Gen 9 Pokemon released, and they showed off the starters. And everyone is really confused because we don't even have the Gen 8 starters. So does Niantic hate the Galar Pokemon, Jordan?
Why didn't they do Gen 8 when Gen 8 came out? I don't understand.
Because they're trying to make it an eternal game and just drip feed content.
But Pokemon Go came out before Gen 8, right? Yeah.
Yeah, Pokemon Go came out in 2017. Or 16, one of the two.
So why didn't they release the Gen 8 Pokemon when they were relevant? I don't know. Whatever. If I were in charge of Nintendo, I would try and put like the most recent Pokemon into Pokemon Go as they come out, just to get like new like players who aren't players on the main game. So like really, really casual people, like someone like my mom or something. would get familiar with the new Pokemon.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. But hey, this is Niantic, who is not a video game company. They are in a technology company that is trying to build AR stuff. And it just so happens that one of their big products where they were testing AR happened to be Pokemon Go and is huge. And they cannot figure out how to make it a fun game, and they keep ruining everything.
I mean, there's still a lot of people playing it. I know.
Yes, there are a lot of people that are playing it, but they're all super confused as to why their revenue stream is dropping when they made terrible changes for the community. It's like, come on, guys. Anyway, I could complain about Pokemon Go for a long time. I was really big into Pokemon Go for a long time, and my interest has waned, and I haven't spent money on it in a long time. So anyway, moving on to our next topic. Jordan, what did they tell us about Detective Pikachu?
Well, they gave us a release date, I believe. So I don't, I'll be honest, I don't remember much from when they showed off Detective Pikachu earlier. Was it revealed at the pseudo E3 Direct this year?
Yes, it was revealed in June.
Okay. Yeah, I completely forgot everything about it.
I mean, me too. I'm not interested at all.
The graphics look awful. It looks like a Wii U game. I don't know. Something about it just looks like it was made for the 3DS and then went into development hell. And then they're like, oh, the 3DS is gone. Instead of redoing the assets, let's just up-res it and put it on the Switch.
That's probably exactly how it went down. The good news, though, is that it has a ton of voice acting, which is kind of huge for a Pokemon game.
Yeah. Is it all just for English / Japanese? Or
that is a good question.
Do other languages, too?
I have no idea. I haven't bother to look at any of the trailers, because again, this was a waste of 35 minutes of my life watching this presents.
Wow. All right. Well, I'm not expecting a good review for this direct from David.
Well, it wasn't like a total waste, but again, it was 35 minutes of just random crap, because this is just how the Pokemon presents go. Because like I said, they gave us a little bit about Pokemon Go. Then they also told us about some events in Pokemon Unite and some stuff in Pokemon Masters EX and Pokemon Cafe Remix or whatever it's called. And it's like, okay, please go play all of our mobile games, because that is where we get consistent revenue streams. Please and thank you. Here's the 80 millionth paid event that you can do for this game. And then they showed us Detective Pikachu, which they probably just wanted to get out so they can make at least some of the money that they spent on it back from development hell. And I'm sure some people will like it, but I really don't think it's going to sell super great.
I'm not trying to crap on the Detective Pikachu fans. Like, I'm glad that they're getting their game. I just feel like it would have been a lot more opportune to release it when the movie was out and about.
No way. Are you serious?
Rather than, what, 5 years later? 4 years later? It's been a while.
It's been a while, yeah, because that movie came out pre-pandemic, so yeah, it's been at least a
year pre-pandemic.
Right, so.
I wonder if the pandemic kind of just is the cause. I wonder if they went into some delays and then the pandemic happened and if they just were not able to recover it.
Yeah. Well, plus I remember the rumor that the movie was going to get a sequel and then it was canceled for some reason, from what I understand.
Oh, so they're
so I don't know if. Yeah, that might have had something to do with it. But yeah, no, I agree with you. It does not look very pretty at all. Plus, it has like Pokemon that were not around in the first part of the game, because this is a sequel. They're continuing the story, but it's the same city. And now all of a sudden there are Pokemon from like Gen 8. And it's like, those Pokemon did not exist when Detective Pikachu first came out.
Well, I don't know. I feel like they could have just always been part of the city. We just didn't see them.
Yeah, true. True.
Because theoretically, I mean, technically, all the Pokemon in Gen 8 existed in the world of Pokemon when we were playing like Gen 1 or whatever, as far as lore is concerned.
True. Whatever. We don't have to talk about the weirdness in the lore. It just, I don't know. For me, it just stuck out and I noticed it. And I was like, oh, there are Gen 8 Pokemon now. I guess they're either introducing those in or, but anyway. But kind of talking about things that actually looked pretty. They showed us a preview for Paldean Winds, which is their next online animated series, which I don't get why the Pokemon Company keeps doing these. I love them. Keep them coming because they're free. But like, they put so much effort into these little mini series that it's like, why not just make the anime about these types of cool stories, you know?
Because they're just real quick one-offs, one-shots.
True. And they're not very long. Not every episode is like a full episode length. Yeah, but
these are more for fan service, like events and stuff. I'm not so sure about Paldean Winds being too great. The other ones kind of focused on key moments of previous games, like stuff that fans would be really interested in. This one's going to be kind of like a normal anime season, but shorter, just as a web series.
Right, because they have a whole bunch of characters that aren't in the game that are going to be like the main characters.
Yeah, and it's another school anime. I do not care about school anime.
That is, hey, there's some really fun ones out there. But man,
it is my least favorite genre. I'll take an isekai before I take a school anime.
And you don't like isekai either.
No, I really don't like isekai.
Yeah. We'll see if it's any good. I mean, I just remember the one that they did for Hisui with the Zoroark was really pretty and really sweet. Even the Galar one that wasn't about like main events in the story, but was like about the fan that really liked Leon. That one was also really quite sweet. So I think they'll do a good enough job. I don't have super high hopes for it, of course, because Pokemon Origins and whatever they called the series that had the key moments from at the actual games, those are like the top two web series for me, for sure.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure that the animation is going to be great in this, because the web series typically have really good animation. I don't know. I felt like with Origin specifically, they were able to get a little bit grittier, too.
Yeah.
Than Pokemon normally gets. Just that like fight scene between Charmander and Squirtle.
Yeah,
just that was cool. The death scream from Charmander.
I kind of want to go rewatch that now. I might just do that when we're done recording. It's a fun.
The manga is pretty dark, at least the original.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've heard that. So, I mean, heck, even Red, Blue, and Yellow, if you kind of read between the lines, there's a lot of really dark stuff that the game alludes to.
Yeah, I think the original intent was to have a story pretty similar to what the manga is. and I think Pokemon became more and more corporatized as it got bigger and bigger.
Oh, well, that's okay. But I'm hoping Paldean Winds is at least fun to watch. So look forward to that. I think they gave a release date, but I didn't write it down. So it'll come soon. Now we got some NSO updates. Jordan, what's coming to NSO?
We're getting the Pokemon trading card game. Oh, yeah.
Your favorite.
Yeah. This is probably my favorite Game Boy game. It's one of the few games I play almost every year. I just really love it. I wish Game Freak or Pokemon Company or whatever would make new Pokemon trading card game adventures with like recent Pokemon cards. Release an adventure where it's like the last 2 years worth of cards. And then when you beat the Elite Four or whatever, then it's like, oh, now there's a second region or whatever with the legacy. And it's like the entire history of Pokemon or whatever.
Oh, that'd be so cool. They have the like entire card game built up into a game.
Yeah, they could just use the rule system from the Pokemon Online and they already have all the cards on there. So I don't think it would be too much effort on their part. The question is there enough demand? Because people who collect Pokemon cards aren't really the kind of people who collect them to play them.
True. They make most of their money because they're collectibles.
Yeah, people just like to collect them, which is fine. They're the nerd version of basketball cards.
Yep, exactly.
They're akin to basketball cards than they are to Magic the Gathering cards, but you have the option to make them into like Magic the Gathering because there's an actual game around it.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, the Pokemon cards are cool. I collected a whole bunch of them when I was a kid, and I wish I still had them, but oh well.
I mean, live and learn. Probably worth a couple dollars now.
Yeah. But gave them all to my cousin, and I have no idea if he kept them or did anything with them.
I don't think I have anything valuable. Well, when I was a kid, most of my Pokemon cards were from like starter decks and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I had traded and managed to get enough packs that I think I had like a holo Charizard or something. That might have been like my only good one, but oh well. No way to know anymore.
Yeah, I wanted a holo Charizard so bad, but I didn't understand that different Pokemon packs gave different selection of cards. So I think I was always opening the wrong packs. Magic. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that the trading card game will be really fun to play. I think it's actually already out now on Switch. I think that was kind of a shadow drop. I haven't bothered to look yet, but it'd be kind of fun.
I'll definitely play it.
To go play. Yeah.
I mean,
I'll give it a shot. I haven't actually played it, and I do love a good card game.
I haven't played it this year, so it's time to crack it out. I'm really hoping that they give us Pokemon the Trading Card Game 2, because to the best of my knowledge, there isn't an official English translation yet, and that would be a really cool one to get.
Yeah, but we're also hoping and praying that Nintendo will give us like Mother 3.
Yeah, but so. I think this would be easier to do than Mother 3.
True, very true.
And they've done translations for other games in the past.
Yeah. So here's hoping. And of course, the other one on NSO is Pokemon Stadium 2, because we already got Stadium 1. And it's still a bummer that you can't connect any Pokemon of your own to it to play through the story and to battle each other. But at least there are really good mini games on this one, right?
Yeah, I think that's the whole purpose of this. Although doing the battles with just the rental Pokemon is kind of lame.
Yeah, I mean, I know that there are some challenges and speedruns that you can do with those Pokemon to try and get through it. So that might be a fun challenge that people are interested in, especially since it has Gen 2 rules. So like Pokemon are very different than they are now. So it'd be kind of fun if you aren't familiar with those mechanics to go back and play with those. Like no physical special split, and all sorts of wonky stats and the critical rate being based off of your speed. Though I think they might have patched that or changed that in Gen 2. I don't remember. Anyway, it's a fun addition. But again, like without Pokemon Red, Blue, Yellow, Gold, Silver, Crystal on NSO and allowing some sort of back and forth service, it's like, why are these here other than the mini games?
Well, just the mini games. You can play them online, right? I think Nintendo's just trying to find every multiplayer game they can. Just to justify it as being part of the online pass.
True, true. And yeah, they definitely showed off in the trailer 4 different icons in the game together. So they were definitely playing online.
Yeah, we need Banjo-Tooie on the service. Banjo-Tooie is one of the best multiplayer games on the N64. We got Kazooie. Give us Tooie.
Please,
Microsoft. I know a lot of fans don't like Tooie as much as Kazooie, but everyone has to admit that the multiplayer was really good.
Yeah, I agree with that. Cool. Other than that, there wasn't anything else really exciting in the direct besides like the Scarlet and Violet DLC information. So I guess we'll just go ahead and jump into that. The big thing is that they formally announced the event that was data mined like a couple months ago. When they updated the game, they found in the Lua scripts like text that was referencing a power up from you when it entered battle. And so they hacked the raid and made the boss a Mewtwo and brought a Mew into the raid. And it was like, Mew is overflowing with power going up against its rival, or whatever the text says. I'm probably making that up, but it gained a massive stat boost. And so people were like, okay, I guess that means that we're getting a Mew and Mewtwo event in Scarlet and Violet before they update the game again. And lo and behold, here we are. It's pretty cool. You can get a free Mew just through Mystery Gift. It comes at level 5, which is one of the lowest levels Mew has ever been available at. And it comes as a random Terra type. So, and the first move that it has is based off of the Terra typing. So the one that I redeemed just this morning was Ghost type. And that was pretty cool and exciting. So you can speed run the tutorial of the game up until the first Pokestop, or not Pokestop, Pokemon Center, Jordan, if you really want to, and then you can get as many Mews as you want.
No, that sounds awful. It takes so long. The introduction of that game is literal hell.
It sure does. But the other thing is that next month in September, there's going to be a raid event where Mewtwo will be challengeable. And the Mewtwo raid's probably going to be really hard. They actually have some raid events going on right now and then in a couple of weeks that feature Pokemon that are going to be good against the Mewtwo for the raids, to kind of prep people up and to get experience candies to level up the Mew if they wanted to bring that into the battles. And the nice thing is that this is somewhat similar to the Mewtwo event we had in Sword and Shield years ago, but this time you'll actually be able to catch the Mewtwo as well. So you get a Mewtwo out of it if you manage to defeat it. And you can catch the Mewtwo in any Pokeball you want, which is also really cool. What was also really interesting, Jordan, and it, I think it hinted at like one of the new things for the second half of the DLC, is that on the website for the My Very Own Mew event, it literally says somewhere, or I guess not literally, but it basically implies that Mewtwo may be available via other means in the game at a later date, or something very similar to that. And so now fans are already speculating, oh, we're going to get Dynamax Adventures again so that we can catch another Mewtwo and hunt the shiny form in the DLC.
Or something similar.
Yeah, or something similar. I mean, with the, since the 3DS basically, I mean, I guess Black and White had it too, to some extent, or Black 2 and White 2 at the very least. But the like second entry in each of the generations, well, I guess with the advent of Sword and Shield, it's like the DLC editions. They've always included a way for you to get the older legendaries. Like, for example, with Sun and Moon, with Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, excuse me, you were able to go through the wormholes to get all of the legendary Pokemon if you suffered through the wormhole minigame. And then Sword and Shield's DLC, the final part, the Crown Tundra, added in Dynamax Adventures, so you could get all of the different legendary Pokemon. So it makes sense that Scarlet and Violet will have some sort of addition in the DLC for these legendary Pokemon again. My thought is that it's going to be tied into Area Zero once you clear all of the story events in the DLC.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, we were predicting that they would have some sort of minigames thing in the DLC.
Yeah. So anyway, just something to look forward to. Pokemon's incredibly formulaic and very predictable, right?
So. I don't know. They did kind of change things up with Scarlet and Violet.
Yeah, they did. They changed up the gameplay loop.
You like to be safe, though. I will say that.
Very. But so then they also showed off some of the stuff for Hidden Treasures of Area Zero. I've been talking quite a bit. So, Jordan, you want to talk about some of the notable things from it that you noticed?
They gave an evolution to one of my favorite Pokemon. I feel specifically called out on this one. They gave Applin a new candy apple evolution, Diplin. I love it.
Yeah, it's super cute. And it's another evolution. So Applin is now like Tyrogue, where it has three possible evolutions.
I love all three of them, although Flapple's the best one.
Yeah, Flapple's amazing. Who doesn't like a dragon apple that just like flaps its apple arms like crazy?
So is this one a dragon as well? Dragon grass?
I think they revealed the type. I can take a quick look.
So I believe both of the other two are.
Yeah, Diplin is grass dragon, just like its other evolutions. So that'll be fun. It has Super Sweet Syrup as its ability, which is a new ability. All we know about it is that when it enters battle, its opponent's evasiveness is lowered by one stage.
So what's going to be the next apple dessert that we get?
They're just going to keep giving Applin more evolutions. let's see.
Apple juice. What else?
Right, I'm pulling up apples. A whole bunch of images. Apple muffins.
Ah.
apple crisp. Just like a deassembled apple pie, but with yummy crumblies on top. We got the candy apple. Apple roses. I'd say baked apples, but that seems more like a candy apple territory to me.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know. Apple fritters.
Apple jacks.
Apple jacks, yeah.
I was joking.
What's really funny to me, though, is that Diplin looks honestly quite a bit like Gigantamax Flapple and Appleton.
Yeah.
So, like, is that its true form?
No.
Do you remember what the Gigantamax looked like?
Yeah, I remember what it looks like.
Yeah. Except I guess it's upside down. The Gigantamax, like, the head is popping out. But with Diplin, he's kind of like stuck inside. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah.
I think Diplin is super cute. It's cool to see that they're adding more Pokemon. And it's not just a regional variant. I like evolutions. And speaking of evolutions, there was another evolution. I'm not even going to pronounce it. You tell me what it is.
Oh, gosh. Arculadon. So yeah. It's the evolution to Duraludon, which I'll be honest, I don't remember existing as a Pokemon.
It's probably why they gave it an evolution.
They could have told me Duraludon was a new Pokemon and I would have believed them.
Yeah, the skyscraper. Yeah, it's from this new DLC. Mm-hmm. It's funny because it was the signature Pokemon of the final gym leader.
The ice one?
No, the doubles battle one with weather.
Oh, you're so okay. It wasn't from this game. It was from.
Yeah, from Gen 8 from Sword and Shield.
Okay, that makes more sense. So we're getting two Gen 8 Pokemon evolutions.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the Dragon Steel or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
It existed.
That's exactly right. And now it's going to be a menace with Eviolite. Because it had a pretty high base stat total, and now it's going to hit even harder.
Yeah, it was already the main Pokemon of a gym leader.
Yep.
And oh, no.
Gross. It's like how Primate with Eviolite is actually decent, too, in certain strategies.
Yeah, but Primate's evolution and Bisharp is so insane that...
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you run Primate still. I guess in, right, like, the lower tier tournaments or whatever.
Yeah. But, like, Bisharp with Eviolite is also a decent contender. So, they just keep doing that, which is fine. I think it's a cool take on a Pokemon, except I think that Arculadon, if that's how it's pronounced, just sounds like a Digimon name.
It doesn't even look that much different. So it's supposed to be the skyscraper, and it's like this curved skyscraper.
Yeah, well, now it's a bridge.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, is this supposed to be a reference to the skyscraper in Britain that melted cars?
Have you looked at the official Pokemon page on Pokemon.com?
I have not.
For it? If you like scroll down, you can see its form where it becomes like a gigantic bridge, kind of like the, the Golden Gate or something like that. And it's still a dragon, but it has a lot of electricity flowing through it, which is weird.
Jeez, anyway, so with Eviolite, Duraludon's going to have 180 special defense. Oh, no, I was looking at special attack, not special defense. Okay. Its defense is just going to be insane. Its special defense.
Yeah, regular defense. Bad. Yeah, which is why it never saw much use, is it has terrible special defense to begin with.
Yeah. It's definitely a physical wall. Definitely. I'm going to predict, even with Eviolite, then it's not going to be that great.
Right. Special is really powerful in these games. So
its move pool is kind of meh. What if a big edible Pokemon? Why?
Which is such a shame.
I just don't understand why they would choose this to do evolution for. Whatever.
They wanted a metal bridge, and so they were like, we'll just evolve Duraludon because nobody remembers Duraludon.
Let's put work into a Pokemon that people are going to forget again.
Exactly. But yeah, they also revealed two new Paradox Pokemon. Since we got just a few months ago some events for Suicune and Virizion, their paradox forms, I believe it was Walking Wake and Iron Leaves. Now we got Raikou and Cobalion. So finishing off the Legendary Beasts, well, not finishing off the second entries in the Legendary Beasts and the Swords of Justice. So we got Cobalion and Raikou, and Cobalion's paradox form is Iron Crown, which it looks pretty cool. I think it looks better than Iron Leaves. And then Raikou gets to be Raging Bolt. And it's awesome. It has such a long neck.
So are these version exclusives?
Probably.
I am.
Yeah.
Kind of regretting that I went Violet, because I like the three dogs more.
Well, if they're going to be in raids like Iron Leaves and Walking Wake were, you'll be able to connect up to the raids and catch them that way, too. It just means that you won't be able to find the raid on your own. Though, I don't know if it's going to be a raid type thing, because they revealed it as part of the DLC announcement or trailers.
So, yeah, it looked like he was walking around.
Yeah.
The long neck is fun. So we're just kind of waiting for the last of the trio.
Yep. So we're waiting on Terrakion and Entei.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're going to be in the second part of the DLC.
For sure. For sure. But kind of talking about the DLC trailer, like, I know that there are all sorts of super deep dives and other analysis videos out there showing off like all of the new stuff that people care about. There were a lot of new characters that were introduced, new locales, like you're actually going to be going to fully different locations, much like you did in Sword and Shield. There were also some like small updates that seem to be very beneficial, especially to players that like using the camera to take pictures of their cute Pokemon. You can finally tell your Pokemon to stop moving, which feels like it should have been in the base game and not in the DLC. I don't know. I never took pictures, but I know a lot of people were really frustrated that Pokemon kept moving out of frame.
Yeah.
Did you ever deal with that?
I have never taken a picture of my Pokemon.
Me neither. That's Pokemon Snap for me and nothing else.
I am sorry, but all the like extra stuff in Pokemon games, it's not for me. I'm there to battle Pokemon and catch Pokemon and move on.
But the camera's now getting some more mini game stuff with it. And honestly, it just seems like there are so many mini games. One of them is also where Koridon and Miraidon will fly through different rings. You know, currently they just glide, and even then they only glide for a short period of time. This time you actually fly. And apparently, the way that they talked about it in the DLC, you'll be able to unlock free flying Koridon and Miraidon for all of the open areas.
That'd be pretty cool.
So, yeah, that will make shiny hunting and actually traversing the land much nicer.
Yeah.
Because it's also super annoying.
Can't wait for the game to just completely crash from trying to load in all the Pokemon as you fly over real fast.
Exactly. Especially if you're like close enough to the ground so that like you're actually within range of the spawners. That's going to be awesome.
That's going to be the main tactic for shiny hunting, right?
Oh, yeah, just flying over. Maybe in the DLC they'll add the shiny sparkle and sound effect.
I mean, it'd be nice. I would actually care about shiny hunting, maybe.
They just zoom around flying on them. That'd be great. Oh, that'd be cool. But yeah, so that was kind of nifty. A lot of mini games, though. And they also showed off the second part of the DLC a little bit more, where there's like a whole nother league where you get to fight a whole bunch of trainers, other students. But hopefully they're going to be rather challenging battles. If they are, then I'll be excited for that, because I like the strategy in Pokemon, and I know you do too.
Yeah.
So one of the new characters looks like one of the descendants from a character of Legends Arceus, Adamon. Their hair is like identical, so it's very interesting. We know that some of the characters in Legends Arceus are definitely like the ancestors of some previous characters. But some folks like Adamon and other characters, there's no real present day tie. So it's nice to see that. They'll probably never confirm it, but they'll probably give us some dialogue hints or something. Oh, yeah, my family hails from Sinnoh. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Though I guess this character is on this like island in the first DLC or wherever the land is that you go to. I wasn't paying enough attention, so... this first wave of the DLC also got its release date. They previously had told us it was slated for fall, And it's coming out September 13th, which to me seems a lot earlier than I expected. And earlier than maybe I would have wanted, because I was kind of hoping that they'd let it sit a little bit longer and work on fixing it.
I was expecting November for the first wave. November and then February. But now we might get September, November. That's pretty quick.
Yeah, it's very quick.
The DLC looks fine. It looks better than I was expecting, actually. The maps look larger. Yeah. I'm really excited for double battles. Like, it looks like the entirety of the second part of the DLC is focused on double battles.
Which we've been saying in multiple episodes, especially talking about Pokemon, that they need to do more with doubles in story.
Yeah. And if it gets relegated to like the end game DLC, where only people who have like play a lot of Pokemon will actually play, that's fine. Then you don't have like newcomers getting lost in double battles. But yeah, I really do wish that Pokemon just had an option to just make every battle a double battle and then have like every trainer have a full set of six Pokemon.
It's one of the reasons why I really like Pokemon Colosseum. So it'd be great to have that. Be part of the actual games. And I agree with you on how it looks. I think it looks fine enough, but I'm still kind of burnt out from Scarlet and Violet. And so I guess I have to kind of work myself up for getting the DLC. I'll definitely get it at some point because I need to have the Pokemon in my collection, because I'm already at the point where I have complete living decks of every Pokemon so far, and I've got a good number of shinies, so I might as well just keep going.
Yeah, this is launching a sandwich between Fires of Rubicon and Starfield. I don't expect to pick this up for a while.
You'll get it when the second wave comes out.
My expectation, the remaining games I play this year are Fires of Rubicon, Starfield, WarioWare, and Mario Wonder. Right. That's the end of my year.
That's the end. Yeah. I don't know what the end of my year looks like right now. I'll get back to you on that. I haven't really looked far enough forward. Mario Wonder's definitely up there, but total random tangent. I picked up Hades again, and I'm just really digging it.
Yeah, Hades is really good. Love that game. A lot of my friends have been picking it up lately. Did they add something new to it?
No. I was just scrolling through my list of games while I was getting on the elliptical, because I've decided that I really can go longer on the elliptical when I'm playing a game. And I was scrolling through my library, and I saw Hades on my PC, but then I was like, I kind of want to play it on my Switch save and then enable cross saves later. And so I just turned it on, and I've been playing it again, and it's so fun.
Oh, it has cross saves.
Yeah, it has cross saves with Steam on Switch, which is nuts.
That's pretty cool. I wish more games would do that.
For sure, because then I could pull up my initial save on my PC if I wanted to.
Yeah.
From when I first played it 2 years ago on my Switch. So
yeah. And then Sony needs to do it with Steam as well, so that I can play games on my PS5 instead of my PS5 collecting dust. Because if I'm going to buy a game, I'm going to buy it on Steam before PS5.
Yep. I will say, though, there might be one reason that people are picking up Hades again. And I know we're derailing completely from Pokemon, but the game was finally beaten with every single heat turned on.
I saw that. Well, so like people have done it before, but they had to have like specific seeds to make sure.
Yeah, so that RNG manipulation and a couple of weird
things. But now
things
someone's done
sure.
it without manipulation, I believe.
Yep. Which, and the player is insane. Like watching that run, I was like, holy crap. I don't think I could ever do this.
Yeah,
it was thought to be impossible
for a while there.
Yeah, it totally was. It's super funny because literally the week before that run happened, a bigger Hades YouTuber posted a video on like, the community thinks that this will never happen. And then literally a week later, someone actually did it on a verified run. It was so funny. But anyway,
yeah,
Hades is fun. I'm really looking forward to its sequel.
I am too. I am very surprised that it got announced last December, and I was expecting us to get an early access sometime this year. Where is it?
I know, right?
It's going to be another Silk Song.
Oh, well. They did so well with Hades 1 that now they're going to do other stuff. But anyway, pulling it back to Pokemon, I think that pivoting to the Hades discussion there really kind of drives home how I was not a big fan of this Pokemon Presents. I don't know. if I had to rate this presents, you know, it's probably like a 6 out of 10. It gave us some cool stuff through the DLC that I'm somewhat interested in. But again, it was so long and had so little stuff in it, and hardly anything was new. I was expecting maybe some sort of announcement. You know, people were hoping and praying for the next Legends game to be announced, which that sounds like a tall order considering how Scarlet and Violet have turned out, and we still have to get the DLC out. But, you know, anything, just like a tease of a new project or something would have been cool for a 35-minute long video at 7 a.m. in the morning.
I don't know why people were expecting much out of this one, because
yeah,
if they were going to announce big projects, it would have been on Pokemon Day in February.
True. And like, I wasn't expecting it, but for how long it was, I really wish that they had.
Yeah, like I said, I didn't know it was coming, but before I clicked on the video, I was expecting just updates on Scarlet and Violet and other projects that they already have out. It just seemed like a press reveal thing. I guess they used to have an event before E3 every year, and they would show off new games there. That's where we got Let's Go Eevee and stuff.
Yeah, that's right, because they wanted to have the spotlight on their own and not just announce it during Nintendo's presentation.
I wonder if Detective Pikachu was supposed to be like the big announcement this time, and Nintendo took it for their direct.
Probably.
Stole some of their thunder. I don't know. I'm glad I didn't wake up for it. I have learned with Nintendo directs now that if it's not like a main direct, to just not wake up for these anymore.
Unless it's like one of their directs where they're only showing gameplay from a new game that you're excited for or something.
I could just wake up and...
Even then.
The question is, are they going to show Metroid Prime or not? It has to be, it has to be something where I don't want like the internet to spoil for me.
Yeah.
And those kind of announcements are not going to show up in a Pokemon announcement.
Yeah, exactly.
Or even like gameplay of a specific game or something. I'll wake up for the general directs.
Yeah, but the general directs are always at a much more comfortable time.
Because they actually want people to watch them.
Yeah. Pokemon ones are like, we only care if like the Japan watches them.
Yeah. It's difficult because you want it to be in a time zone that like the entire world can watch, specifically all of America, all of Europe, and Japan. Right. There's a lot of Pokemon fans in other areas of the world, but their like main target audience are those three regions.
Yeah, exactly. So,
And that spans the entire world. So there's a very small window, because like it's way early in the morning for us on the West Coast. But it's like I imagine it's way late at night for Japan. And so the Japanese the equivalent of Nintendo Fusion in Japan is probably complaining that they're too late and how they had to stay up for the Pokemon Direct.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just trying to look and see when 7 a.m. here is in Japan. Yeah, it's 10 p.m.
Yeah, that's pretty late for a Pokemon Direct.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
Let's see. So we typically have the Nintendo Directs at like 2 or 3 p.m. Right? 2 p.m. is 5 a.m. I guess it's like later. I think they do it at like 3 p.m. Yeah, so they do it like 6 a.m. in Tokyo for the general Nintendo Directs.
Ouch. All right. Yeah, I don't think I can complain then. I would much rather have the generals.
they get the bad
directs. Okay. All right. I'm not going to complain anymore. Now I just sound like an asshole.
Yeah. But anyway, that's kind of my summary for this direct. It was fine, or I guess presents, because they have to use a different word than direct. It was fine. The stuff at the end with Scarlet and Violet is interesting, and I think this DLC looks decent. But yeah, no. If you spent the 35 minutes on this and feel disappointed, I'm right there with you. If you were excited the entire time, you must be just a diehard Pokemon fan and play like every single one of their games, including all of the mobile ones.
I thought it was fine. I give it a 4 out of 10. It's
4 out of 10. That's worse than mine.
Well, in my mind, a 5 out of 10 is like average. Like that's par.
Yeah.
It is below par. It's yeah. It was good. 2 out of 10.
It's good. 2 out of 10. Anyway, I don't know if I have much else to talk about with this Pokemon Direct. Hopefully the DLC is good and runs better than even what they showed here. Because Scarlet and Violet are still technical disasters even after their performance updates.
They're just always going to be.
Yep.
Their bulk development has to be towards the next generation, right?
Oh, I'm sure. And from what I understand, Game Freak has another title they're working on.
Oh, that's not Pokemon or Legends Arceus 2? Yeah,
back in May, they released some sort of key art for a new action-adventure game that they call Project Bloom.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, they're teaming up with Take-Two Interactive. So they're probably splitting their dev time on Gen 10 or whatever the mid-generation project is and Project Bloom. So hope one of them is good.
I expect Pokemon Gen 10 to be a complete mess because it's going to be a dual release.
Yeah.
Well,
Project Bloom
is
slated.
You're hoping that it's going to run better. I think it's going to run worse.
I mean, it just might.
Just because they're going to, specifically the Switch version. I think the Switch version for that game is going to run worse than Scarlet and Violet.
Yeah, most likely. I mean, based on what I understand from data mining, it seems like they've streamlined their development process so that they can crank stuff out much faster. So my guess is they did that because they want to spend more time on Pokemon Bloom Project Bloom because it's so different. But Project Bloom is planned for 2026 fiscal year, so anywhere between April 1st, 2025 and March 31st, 2026. So
also,
it'll be exciting.
We've always complained that, or the excuse has always been that Game Freak has to release a Pokemon when it needs to, because there's so many other things in the pipeline that have to be done. Earlier in this direct, the anime is not even out in America, right?
Yeah.
So how much weight does that even hold? Because why can't they just make a bunch of fan service Pokemon card sets or whatever? And on a rainy day, they're like, well, I guess we'll just release Pokemon Gen 1 again. Because we're waiting for the game to come out. They could set up a pipeline in the case where Pokemon is delayed, because apparently the anime can come a whole year later.
Yeah. How far behind is the anime?
So I'm starting to buy the everything has to be released when it's supposed to be released argument a bit less now.
All right. Let's see. I'm pulling up Bulbapedia's list of episodes. Let's see. There are 17 episodes so far.
But they're only in Japanese, right?
Yeah, the Japanese ones, those launched April 14th. And so they've been doing almost one a week, it looks like, since then. And I think that just last month they put the rest of Ash's Adventure on Netflix in the US. So, yeah, I mean, I think you've got a point. That whole machine thing, you're buying it less and less. I don't know. I don't know what goes on at that company, but one other thing that I'll point out that I don't think you know about the Pokemon company is the Scarlet and Violet DLC trailer during the direct actually had music from a fan's cover of Area Zero. But the legal team probably doesn't have to do anything, because it specifically states on the legalese on their website that any fan content that uses any Pokemon trademarks or IP or anything can be freely used by the company for any reason they want ever, including commercial stuff. So
I'm going to press X to doubt that that would hold up in court.
Oh, I agree. But who's going to sue the Pokemon company?
The fan.
What monetary loss? I know. It's ridiculous. But Niantic has also stolen a fan's custom designs for icons for Primal Kyogre and Primal Groudon. He designed them, or she designed them, on DeviantArt several years ago. No other place has ever used those designs in the games. Pokemon has never used them. And then suddenly they showed up in Pokemon Go as the icons for those Pokemon.
So, like, Pokemon can probably get away with it because they just have really good lawyers, but I don't I don't think that's legal. I know Magic the Gathering, like, bars their head designer from looking at fan cards specifically because of this, because they don't want to be accused of stealing fan content. Because that would be you have to pay people for their work that they contribute. That just goes into labor law issues.
Yeah, and their website specifically states that people that create this fan art, and if it's used by Pokemon, waive their rights to any sort of compensation or royalties or anything.
They can say all they want about that, but the fan did not agree to these terms.
I know, but, and that's I'll just put on what my terms online. Of
agreement that Nintendo just owes me $1 billion because I feel like it.
Yeah, because why not? So anyway, I just thought that was interesting. I imagine that Toby Fox, if he knows about it, is embarrassed that they couldn't even just ask him to rearrange it or do something else. You know,
I don't think Toby Fox is even involved at all in this.
Well, from what I understand, there was some other sort of thing that Undertale got involved in, and he kind of went off on Twitter about it years ago, but I might be misremembering. Anyway, I mean, I'm embarrassed on behalf of Toby Fox.
I mean, Toby Fox only contributed a few songs, right? He's not.
Well, he wrote the Area Zero theme, which is what they stole the cover of.
I see. And he's upset that they didn't just use his.
He would be. He hasn't said anything, of course. I'm just being embarrassed on his behalf.
This is almost as bad as when people data mined Animal Crossing for the GameCube and found that the NES ROMs had the same signatures as ROMs that were already on pirated sites before Animal Crossing came out.
Yeah.
Which means Nintendo didn't just rip their own ROMs. They pirated their own games.
Yep. I remember that. That's funny. So anyway, just thought I'd bring that up as a little discussion point. I don't know if there's anything else I really want to say about this Direct. We've already talked about it longer than I thought we would.
I mean,
but we also had
twice
Hades.
The length of the Direct right now.
Yeah. I guess we had a lot to talk about. Anyway, is there anything else that you want to bring up?
I think I'm good.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening to our discussion about the Pokemon Presents from August 2023, including a brief tangent off into Hades for some reason, because that's what we wanted to talk about.
Maybe we should just have a Hades episode.
We should, honestly. That'd be really fun.
It counts as Nintendo.
Yeah, it does. Honestly, it's on Switch.
Yeah, the second one's coming out.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe we'll do that. Okay, well, there's a thought. But anyway, thanks for listening. Check out our Discord by going to nintendfusion.com/discord. And please be sure to leave this video a like, comment, review, or whatever is available on the platform you're listening to us on that helps with discoverability so more folks can find our show. But with all that said, thanks again for listening to the Thanks again for listening to the Nintendo Fusion podcast, and we'll catch you on the next one. Bye-bye.
See ya.